Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. We're going to talk about some odds and ends, bits and pieces. I'll let you be the guiding point as to which way, which direction we go in this broadcast. There's so much to talk about. There is a central focus that I want to keep on line with today as we talk about the issues. We're going to be talking about, I believe it was Ronald Reagan many years ago, when Ronald Reagan said the most dangerous, the most frightening words is for someone from the government to say, knock on the door and say, we're here to help you. We're here to help you. We're looking at what I am calling the progressive nanny state mindset in America today. We recognize that COVID-19 has had a large part to do with it. Joe Biden has exacerbated it in the election process by saying that he's simply going to make COVID-19 go away. He has criticized President Trump all the way, saying that Trump has not done enough and that he's going to make it go away. Well, I wonder if he's got a magic wand someplace or if he has some kind of direct line to God that he can tell God what to do, and God's going to do it so that Joe Biden can be president. But ladies and gentlemen, you're aware, I am sure, that the presidential election has not been determined. It's still in a state of flux. It is as a result of several states today seemingly not knowing how to count ballots. That's the outward look of it, but that's not it at all. It is simply a matter of stalling until the ballots can be orchestrated and the vote being stolen. We have Georgia, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, and all of these states, ladies and gentlemen, are simply not attempting to count the ballots until, my opinion, until they determine just how many illegal Biden ballots they need to have to put in the hopper and then all of a sudden find the enough ballots to make him president. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that was being prepared in several of the states in the past several months where they've had court case after court case and have gotten state Supreme Courts in several of those states and the U.S. Supreme Court with the wretched Chief Justice John Roberts to rule that they could have, I believe in one case, one of the states is up to 10 days. I believe it's Pennsylvania can have up until the 13th of this month to ascertain just how many ballots they have and who the ballots were for. But we're going to be talking about all of these things, and especially the sad fact that Duval County went blue. It did in the governor's race, as you recall, with Andrew Gillum, the now ridiculed and rejected politician of his day that wanted to be governor of the state of Florida. And in that race, Duval County went blue. And now it is totally blue. It's not purple. It's totally blue. It is a left-wing liberal mindset in our county, in all of Duval County, including our city council, ladies and gentlemen, including that leadership that we find that is so needed and so vital in society today. But we're going to be talking about these things during the course of this broadcast. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to join in the dialogue and the discussion today. So let me encourage you to call in, put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you today. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. There's an admonition in Psalms 146 and verse 3. It says, put not your trust in princes, that's talking about leadership, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. we need to, ladies and gentlemen, at this juncture in this election, we need to pray as never before. We need to seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. We need to recognize that the end result of this presidential race, this fiasco that we're facing at this moment, can only be resolved by the through the throne room of God, the divine Supreme Court. And so therefore, I ask you to pray today that God will give intervention and give relief and reelect President Donald J. Trump. We still have opportunity, I believe, if we come before God and ask him to give us victory. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, it is based on the authority of the Word of God that we speak. It is based on the authority of the Word of God that we take a position. And multitudes across America, as a result of the philosophy and the feeling that pastors ought not to say anything about political issues, pastors somehow, some way, need to just be silent on election process. As a result of that, we see what is taking place today. And may I simply say, I believe it's as a direct result of silence in the pulpits, or if you can let me just be plain, stupidity coming from the pulpits in relationship to what so many pastors are telling the people. Just leave the politics alone, leave the governmental officials alone, leave it alone what they're doing and saying, and just bow and bend to every whim and wish of the government. Ladies and gentlemen, that's unbiblical, unconstitutional. It is unrealistic, and it ought not to be that which is in the mindset of the Christian. But I am shocked, saddened, and surprised, ought not to have been, as to what has taken place in this election cycle and where it leaves us in America today. We'll talk about that. You can join in the dialogue and discussion, ask your questions, put in your 2 cents worth. Where do you think this election's going? Who do you think the ultimate winner will be? Why do you think Duval County has turned blue? What is the cause and what is the effect and what shall we see in the future? Those are the questions that we're going to be dealing with today. But mostly we'll be talking about the nanny state. The nanny state, the government having the philosophy and the feeling somehow, some way that they've got to take care of us, that they've got to make some statements and do some things and pass legislation and executive orders that will protect us from ourselves. But as we face the issues, let me remind you that based on the scripture, Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is rejected today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that exactly true in every circle in Washington and across the nation when it comes to what I call the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party and all that's the extension thereof. But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's where we ought to be, what we ought to be doing today, ladies and gentlemen, especially as Christians and as conservatives and as central biblicists, as patriots for America. That's where we need to stand today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment, as well as the lawn care for business and the lawn care equipment for professionals and the homeowners. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag flowing, the Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917. I'm joined by one of our sons today, Greg Youngblood. Greg is up at the what he calls the southern tip of heaven there in Tennessee. Greg, thank you for taking time to be with us today on Let's Face the Issues. I'm looking forward to some dialogue and discussion on some of these very important central issues that we need to be facing as citizens as we the people, and I've said for many, many months now, it's become in America that it's we the sheeple and not we the people. Somehow there's a feeling that government controls us rather than we are the controllers of the government. But Greg, just very quickly and out of the chute, where do you see things today from the standpoint of the election? Who will be our next president? What will be the end result of this fiasco called the election process?
Well, as I look out over the beautiful mountains from Houston Valley in East Tennessee, where we didn't make a mistake in this election by over 61%, we voted for Donald Trump. This is a red state. It's deep red, especially the further east you go. But interestingly, the election that we see now playing out, you know, as often has been said by Democrats, it's not whose vote that counts, but who counts the votes. Mm-hmm. And we've watched that play out for years. This is a more than 60-year-old tactic on the part of Democrats. I do find it interesting, and folks should note that it's only in Democrat states and Democrat cities and Democrat-controlled jurisdictions that they have a problem counting votes. I said that to somebody online, and they said, Jeb Bush, Florida, 2000. I'm going, ho-ho, just back up. That was Miami-Dade and Broward counties. That wasn't the whole state. That was particularly a jurisdiction dominated by the left. That's why we had a problem there. And now state by state, city by city, jurisdiction by jurisdiction, if there's a problem with the election count, the highest likelihood is a Democrat is running the show. They've decided to stop counting votes. And I think you clearly assessed that appropriately, that they want an all stop so they can see exactly how many votes do we need to fabricate in order to push Biden over the top. You step back in time 60 years ago. Richard Milhouse Nixon was told after the tally was done the next day, and they said, hey, you've lost, but we believe there's major voter fraud in Illinois and in Texas. And he said that the United States could handle a different president, but they couldn't handle a scandal. You know, they could handle John F. Kennedy for 4 years, but they couldn't handle a scandal. It's interesting how you fast forward a handful of years, and the central focus of the scandal was Richard Milhouse Nixon. However, that election was so close. Today, the Democrats on national TV will tell you that voter fraud doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist in any numbers that would make any kind of difference. That national election, though, was counted or was cost by 9,000 votes in one jurisdiction and 46,000 in another. And they were ballot boxes were showing up out of nowhere. You know, they would wheel in, found two more ballot boxes, found one more ballot box. That's what we're going to watch take place over the next couple of days.
You're exactly right. Greg, put it on hold for just a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line that will ask the question. I have dialogue, and we can have discussion with him on that. Joseph, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm sad to say, and I've similar feelings to you, Duval County going for Biden and half of the country going for Biden. That just really disappointed me, and I just kind of feel negative that the time for the demise of America may be a lot sooner than we think. You know, as you probably know, the United States is not found in the Book of Revelations, so something happens to the United States, and I mean, I believe Trump's going to eventually pull this out, but I just am very disappointed, and most of America is just deceived, and they're willing to roll over and let the socialists tell them when they can get up and go to bed and anything else.
Joseph, you're exactly right, and let me touch on a little statement that you made for some emphasis and clarification for our listeners. America is not definitively found in the book of the Revelation. And I have said for years and years and years, I believe before the rapture of the church and after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist takes dominating full dictatorial control for the global governance. And I believe that America is not found in the Revelation text, because at some point in time in the near future of our nation, we will lose our sovereignty, merge back into simply a global governance, and will not be identified as a sovereign nation. God doesn't make any mistake. God's already pre-written history. We know where we're going, and we know who wins in the end. And that's the thing that gives me motivation and impetus to keep going each and every day, to know that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, and that regardless of who goes in as president, God's still going to have his way as sovereign God in our nation and around the globe. But that doesn't mean that that doesn't mean that we'll not suffer the consequences, because I believe that we will, because I believe the major thing, if I can say this, Joseph, and then Greg, you can respond to it, I believe that as a result of the silence of the pulpits about political issues, I believe it's the result of the petrification, the hysteria, and the fear on the part of pastors that's hiding under the bed and in the closets rather than being watchmen on the wall, speaking truth and calling out error and warning the people as to the dangers ahead. I believe that's exactly what it is. Greg, what is your view on that?
I think we're watching a revolution take place, and essentially the Christian becomes almost counter-revolutionary when righteous men and women stand up and call truth for what it is and evil for what it is. Then in this society that has embraced leftism, I mean, y'all just pointed out, Half the nation chose socialism, chose Marxism, chose leftism in this election. Literally, we are a divided people, a divided nation. The truth has not been proclaimed. The truth has not been proclaimed from the pulpit, and we turn our kids over to an academic system dominated by the government, dominated by leftists, dominated by individuals that teach that socialism and Marxism and communism are good, that the ideology that supports them is good, that the ideals that they promote are good. And it's completely counter to anything that's in true history.
Absolutely. Joseph, thank you so much for your call and for your input.
Can I give an additional comment?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I think what's happening to America has happened to a lot of cultures. But, you know, it's easy to be a sinner. It's easy to be a bum. But the straight and narrow path for the Christian, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. I mean, I've had to tenaciously hang in there with the Lord, even though I have many reasons. I could have said, well, the heck with God, if this is, he's going to let this happen to me. And I think a lot of people have gone for the gusto rather than self-discipline and suffering and doing what's right.
Brother, you're exactly right. We need to pray and ask God to intervene. It's going to be the divine intervention of God that will be our salvation and our hope for the future of our nation. Joseph, thank you so much for your input and your call. Have a blessed day. I believe we have Jose on the line. Go read the question or comment, please.
Oh, brother, it's really sad, and he's on point what your son just said. I was an article on Newsweek that it was published, I believe, this year. 43% of Americans, they see nothing wrong with socialism. They even said that it's even good for America. And coming from a South American country myself and my family, we know what is that. You know, we know what when the leader tell you, a politician tell you that you're going to have free health care, free education, you're going to have food stamps and free housing, make no mistake about it. That person is going to increase the taxes, and the only people that are going to be well off are those politicians, nobody else. And it's sad to say, but I think the scheme of the devil using the Democrats nationwide in this country, we see the results has been paying off. They took control of the educational system. They brainwashing the kids since kindergarten, middle school, high school, college, and universities. And they come home, those school graduates, brainwashed, embracing socialism and communism. So that tell you right there, that's what's going on. You know what I mean? But they don't have a clue what socialism is. They need to go to Cuba or Venezuela and be there at least 2 weeks and experience in person how to live in those nations. And that's what, unfortunately, that's what the Democrats are telling the people that you're going to get. And many people that is not informed, that is being brainwashed, college and universities, they think that that's the greatest thing for America. That is no right for you to have 2-3 cars. That is no right for you to have 1-2 houses. You know what I mean? They need to share and spread it among everybody else. That's communism, but they don't see that. It's so sad, brother. But as Christian, we have to be prayerful and we have to keep moving, you know, moving ahead and just ask the Lord to help the churches, because with this walking zombie that is going to the White House and the corruption, brother, can you explain to me how come they were counting the votes and all of a sudden they stopped last night? Why? Why they start counting? Can you explain that on the air? Because I'm puzzled by it. You know what I mean?
Greg,
and I see
Greg, I can answer that.
They found boxes with balls in. Thank you, brother.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for your call, Jose. Greg, I can answer that, but I want you to give your input and your insight on that first. Answer the question. Very poignant question. Very, very clear question. Why did they all of a sudden stop the counting and now supposedly searching for other ballots? What is that? What is your answer to that?
Well, they need to know exactly how many ballots they need to steal. How many? Listen, there's a possibility that the million ballots that come in Pennsylvania for Joe Biden, for him to be able to take the state of Pennsylvania. By the way, the AP reported this morning that was a real close race, real close. So numbers were real close. They didn't say 400 or 500. They didn't say anything. It's a million vote spread or an 800. It's a big vote spread, but. When all is said and done, I think people need to go back and rub the ink on those ballots that come in the next 24, 48, 72 hours. The ink may not be dry yet, because I believe right now today they are fabricating what they believe they need to pull this thing out. Now, keep in mind, it's a slim, trim, almost a slip-away margin when it's a million in favor of Trump. But when it's one vote in favor of Joe Biden, it'll be a declared a victory. They won't. The counting will stop when Joe Biden has one more vote than Donald Trump, and it'll be a victory, a victory, a victory, and you can't say or do anything about it, because that's the way the left works. Now, you tell me, Chief, tell me how in the world Duval County went blue. What in the world is going on with you people, and how in the world in the state of Florida did you vote for a $15 an hour minimum wage? I have this question for any of you people. I mean, listen, the majority of people voted for that. How many of you people know that there is no minimum wage for a mom-and-pop entrepreneur? There's no such thing. They'll work 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and they may take home the big bagel, nothing, zero, for years, and then file bankruptcy. But all of their employees need to get $15 an hour, plus the taxes that are remitted to the government on their behalf, along with benefits, along with whatever else, to flip burgers or to man a pet store. A friend posted this morning that he had a pet store with 10 employees, and literally that would have cost them an additional $3,000 a week, an additional over $10,000 a month, an additional over $120,000 a year. He said, I never had margins that would ever support anything like that. But now if your name is, if you're Amazon, this makes all the sense in the world, because it'll shut down every mom and pop in the country as this thing morphs and moves forward. Your oligarchs are rising in this society, and people are blind to it. And if you look at Venezuela, as they went socialist, it didn't mean that everybody got poor. The richest woman in Venezuela 10 years ago, and I presume it's still the case today, is Hugo Chavez's daughter, okay? The people in bed with government become millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires, and mom and pop businesses are decimated. What in the world did you people – how did it go blue? Did you and mom not get out and vote? I saw that y'all got out and voted. Somebody needs to explain this to me. Who in the world sat at home and just watched the vote go crazy hard left in Duval County?
One of the major problems in Duval County is that, and it's as you find the pockets across America as well as some of the other cities in America and the blue states, it's where there's a lot of handout wanting free stuff. The mindset that I can get more per hour and I'm going to have more money in my pocket. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that in Duval County, there is the mindset that somehow, some way, the Blue Party, i.e. the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party, can do more for you. And that's been perpetrated in this county now for several years. And it's finally in the past couple of elections turned totally blue. But going back to the $15 an hour, Greg, that passed by 61%. And it takes that supermajority. It's not 51%, 50% plus one doesn't do it on a ballot initiative for the Constitution. It takes 61%. It was over 61% in that move. But explain to our listeners the trickle down. For example, I had a businessman that I was talking with last evening, and he said, I'm going in tomorrow and pull my workers and every worker that voted for the $15 an hour, I'm going to fire him because it's not going to be possible here. In fact, one businessman said it'd be cheaper. I'll make more money to simply close the business, sell the stock and the property and retire than to try to meet the $15 an hour for workers. But explain to our listeners, Greg, it's not just the $15 an hour. It's all of the associated costs of insurance and overhead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that goes along with that. In fact, one calculated, I believe it was referring to perhaps the same person that you were speaking of a moment ago. He says, Florida passed the $15 an hour minimum wage. Here's what it's going to do. Small business owners now have to cover $6.44 more an hour for minimum wage in Florida. 10 employees working 40 hours a week, 400 hours payroll would be $3,424 a week. Payroll now would be $6,000 a week. $2,576 additional per week for the same hourly workers, $10,304 extra per month. And he goes on to say, keep in mind, this is not the additional payroll for additional load or income. It is simply additional payroll with the same income for the business. So if you're going to get $15 an hour, does that mean that the individual making $15 an hour will wind up after paying his bills, buying his products, his services? Will that individual wind up with more or less in the pocket?
Well, the $15 an hour constitutional amendment is a lie because that's not your minimum wage. That in 6 years, it won't be your minimum wage. Your minimum wage, folks, I want you to hear this. Get in real close to the radio. Your minimum wage will be zero because when an employer that does the math, they crunch the numbers. They actually, a lot of them took economics that they don't teach you folks in high school anymore. And they understand at the end of the day, they have to be able to pay their bills. They're required by law to pay you as an employee, but they are not required by law to pay themselves as employers. So they have to crunch the numbers and they go, I have 11 employees, but my cost for those employees just went up by 15, by 20, by 30, by 40. When we get out there, the cost has risen by 40%. So the same money has to be reapportioned. A lot of you folks are going to have the big, big minimum wage of zero, the big bagel, folks. You're going to get sent home. The other side of the equation is, do they have pricing pressure and pricing power? Do they, as an employer, as a producer of a good or commodity, do they have ability to raise their price in order to offset their expenses? If they have the ability to raise their price, they will. That means you that make $15 an hour, so you're making 30 or 40% more than you were, less the taxes, so back to 20 or 25% more, you will pay more for the goods and services that you receive. This is not an upside for you. This is a downside because a lot of you folks will be without jobs. A lot of you will be without jobs, but that plays to the Democrats' Fabian socialist ideological goals. They would like to dismantle the system of capitalism that we have today. And I want you to look at the Fabian socialist. A lot of you folks have never heard that term, Fabian socialist or Fabian society, but they are socialist in ideology. Their idea is to crush the world and to remake it. And we've got what they're calling a great reset coming. That's coming soon, and it's going to make for major changes in your finances.
Absolutely. Greg, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. And for our listeners, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back. We're talking about the end result of this election, what I'm calling a nanny state. And going back to quote Ronald Reagan, and the government comes to you and says, we're here to take care of you, to help you. That's the most frightening words that you could hear. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.